Share it with us at 276-638-2255. That's 276-638-CALL. Now, back to Southside Connection on the Southside's premier sports station, ESPN Southside AM 1160, ESPNSouthside.com, and Facebook.com/ESPNSouthside for the link to listen on your mobile phone.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Southside Connection rolling along. I am the King Ed Lane, Jason the Man Wigington on the other side of the glass, opening your phone lines up to you at 276-638-2255. That's 276-638-CALL. Talked a little Carolina hoops last segment. I'm not panicking on the heels, even though they lost by 33 points at Florida State this past weekend. I think they come back and get a win tonight against Virginia Tech. I am curious in tonight's game, though, to see how many of the fans at this contest are actually Virginia Tech fans. This is a game that was not even sold out until this afternoon. This morning, it was announced by Virginia Tech that the game had not been sold out. So in our Twitterverse in which we live today, and all of our social media and news organizations and the ability to access and disseminate news quickly, you're able to find that out. My question is, how many of those people who found out were North Carolina fans who spread the word and grabbed the tickets? I'm curious to see that. I don't really expect this game to have a lot of buzz just because Virginia Tech, they're 0-3 in ACC play. Their losses have not been to impressive teams in two of those three games. They lost at Wake Forest in a game where they just frankly didn't show up. Lost to Florida State at home in a game where the matchup problem was an issue, but still. And they lost at Boston College, a team that's near the bottom of the ACC and a team that just a week before had lost to 2-12 Rhode Island. So take that for what it's worth. Virginia Tech clearly struggling right now. And the attendance has been off the mark this year. They've got individual game tickets left for every home game. $30 for BYU, $35 for all the others. Duke, UVA, Boston College, Clemson, State, Georgia Tech. Virginia Tech's got home tickets left for every home game. They sold around 5,100 season tickets this year. That's off 1,300 from the last year's ticket number. Not helping when you don't have any marquee opponents outside the ACC to draw. I mean, who's attracting you to go to Blacksburg this year? BYU without Jimmer Fredette? Sorry, doesn't do much for me. A Virginia Tech basketball team that's 0-3 in ACC play, and their losses are to bottom-of-the-barrel teams in Boston College and Wake Forest, and another mid-level team in Florida State who was nothing really until they waxed North Carolina this weekend. What is there? What's to get me excited? I don't think there's anything. I think it's the same song and it's a different verse for Virginia Tech. Frankly, it is what it is. We had a chance to ask Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com this question when we spoke with him last week, and I thought his response was equally telling.
I think year after year, the same result, the exact same thing. It just kind of seems like no matter who Seth Greenberg has on his team, they're going to have the same result each season. And you know, in football, Virginia Tech has become synonymous with 10-win seasons. And in basketball, Virginia Tech has been synonymous with the NIT and being just off the bubble. And I think people are a little bit tired of that.
You know, I agree. That's what I think of for Virginia Tech. Every year comes Selection Sunday, I'm looking for the brackets to come out. And nothing gets me more excited than that final bracket pairing when it gets announced. And what do we have? Virginia Tech off the list. Because the next thing I immediately do every year is I go to Facebook. Last year, we even gave away Martinsville Speedway race tickets because we wanted the best person who could give us the best sales pitch for why Virginia Tech should go. And we had a couple of them, but for the most part, everyone's pitch was, they shouldn't have gone. It is what it is. Look at their history. No major non-conference wins under Seth Greenberg that I can ever find to spark excitement. None. Nothing has gotten excitement. No, there are no non-conference wins. There are no major non-conference opponents. I haven't seen Kansas on the schedule. Kentucky, Baylor since they've gotten good. Seton Hall or St. John since they've gotten good. Now, I don't think anyone could have predicted Seton Hall this year, but we know St. John's, they're good. Haven't seen UConn. No West Virginia on the schedule. Now, I understand why you're leery of going up there, given the history of the fans, but Where have everyone else been? What about Kansas? What about Texas? What about marquee teams? And I don't want to hear this, well, they want us to go there twice and they're only going to come here once argument. Dude, you're Virginia Tech basketball. Same Virginia Tech football, where you could probably ask that of other teams, or at least say, we want to do a 1-1, and that's what happens. Or we're going to pick a neutral site and we're going to go. Virginia Tech, sorry, you don't have that clout right now. What have you done? I can't remember the last time this team actually did something with a postseason bid. I can't remember it. I'll put it this way. The most exciting postseason I remember was the NIT back in the early 90s when Ace Custis helped them win the NIT championship. Really? That's what you're hanging your program's hat on? And that's what Virginia Tech has become synonymous with under Greenberg. Non-conference opponents and trips to the NIT. Look at their non-conference wins. None in 04-05. The only teams they played, St. John's and Mississippi State. 05-06, St. John's and Stanford. Stanford wasn't that good. That didn't do anything for me. Does nothing for me. GW and St. John's in 06-07. Might I add St. John's in 07 and an 08 season. And that's a St. John's program, which had hit the depths. Not a good one. 2009-2010, the ever controversial year where they got snubbed for, what, the third time in a row? Georgia. This ain't Georgia football. This isn't Mark Richt's squad, which made it into a New Year's Day bowl game. This is Georgia basketball. Mediocrity. Mediocrity is what seems to sell with Virginia Tech basketball. And it is what it is. I don't have a problem with it. I think you're dead right when you look at Virginia Tech hoops and where they are. Patrick had a great point. He said, considering what most of the Hokie fans, quote-unquote, that I personally know only pull for them in football and then switch to Duke in basketball, I'm not surprised they've had attendance woes. I pull for UNC in anything in bold. They could be playing checkers, and I pull for them. And even if the team in one sport is bad, I still pull for them and try to find ways to get down there and support them. That was Patrick on ESPN Southside, the Facebook page today. I admire the guy as a sports fan. For me as an entertainment dollar, I don't have a problem with picking teams that you want to watch. Frankly, I want to go with what's the most entertaining. What's the best to watch? No, I stick with teams through thick and thin, but frankly, I want what's entertaining. I like Memphis basketball. I can't care anything about Memphis football because, frankly, they're terrible. Miami, I'll watch the U in football. I'm not going to watch them in basketball. Just how I am as a fan. Just my take on it. And we also had a chance to ask Chris Coleman about the reason for Virginia Tech's slide in ticket sales. And I think it's a combination of all these factors. The fact that they're synonymous with the NIT. The fact that they don't play anybody. Nobody to draw you to the games. That's who they are. That has become their identity. Plain and simple.
You know, some people are. The season ticket sales dropped off this year. They struggled to sell their mini season ticket packages, and now there's still individual game tickets sold up for sale for a lot of different games. So, I think a couple of years ago, interest in the basketball program started to plateau, but this year it's really kind of dropped like a rock.
I agree. I think that the attendance is dropped like a rock. Fans have called on. Synonymous with NIT trips. It's simple. You have nobody you play in marquee non-conference matchups. You don't have much of anything in marquee non-conference matchups. We'll get to Neil in just a second as he wants to talk some Duke basketball and talk ACC hoops as well. Before we do that, we do want to let you know the Living Waters Outreach Ministry, the Church of God of Prophecy. Not only do they have Sunday services every Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN Southside, also they have got great worship services. Morning worship at 11, evening praise at 6, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Adult DVDs, background ministry. You know the best part about them, though, is it's a come-as-you-are atmosphere. They're not judgmental. You could walk in wearing the polo shirt Jason's wearing. You could walk in wearing the button-down and tie that I'm wearing. They don't care. The Living Waters Outreach Ministry, they open their arms to you. Come as you are. Because, frankly, worship, in their eyes, supposed to be a joyful experience, and it's rewarding. Doesn't matter how you're dressed. Pastor Sedwick wears a tie, but he said it before and he's been open about it. I want to do that, and that's the way I prefer to worship. A lot of other people don't. Cool for them. Speaking of the ACC, Duke Hoops. It's on Neil's mind. Neil, what's up? Appreciate your patience.
Hey, what's up, man? No problem, man. I'm saying, what do you think about this Duke team? It seems like they're playing pretty small. I'm always on the edge of my seat when I'm looking at a Duke game because I'm thinking tonight, hey, Duke should blow out Wake Forest. But in my mind, I'm thinking it's going to be a close game. And what's up with the third Plumlee brother? Did he get redshirted?
Yeah, Duke, I don't know about the third Plumlee brother, so I don't want to comment about that. We will get to that, and we'll have an answer for you later in the show on the third Plumlee brother. For me with Duke right now, I think my biggest leery part for them is they've got talent, but the talent is generally younger talent, with the exception of Ryan Kelly, who's come to play down low and I think has been one of the more pleasant surprises in the ACC. They're two guards, Quinn Cook, a good point guard, Austin Rivers, pretty capable. No word as to whether he'll stick around for another year or not. I think if he does, Duke ought to be very dangerous next year, especially since I think North Carolina will end up losing after this year. Harrison Barnes, Zeller, they'll lose a lot, but they'll have talent coming in. I think Duke this year, I don't know whether I want to say the ceiling is limited for them, but I think right now it is. Because I haven't seen enough out of the young talent to think that they can supplement the experienced talent to be able to make a Final Four run. I thought the same thing about them 2 years ago when they went on and beat Butler in the Final Four and won the national championship, beat Butler in the championship game, excuse me. I'm not saying it's out of the question, but right now the raw talent on Duke doesn't jump off the map. The raw talent and seniority combination as far as just talent, polish, and seniority, to me, it doesn't jump off the map the way it does for Kentucky, Baylor, UConn, Syracuse, North Carolina. Coach K can make it happen. It's there. But to me, right now, and I use the right now with an emphasis on that, they're more a work in progress.
And let me thank Austin Rivers that has the game to jump to the NBA next year, because for me, I don't think he does, because he's kind of up and down, because I don't even see him as a point guard. Do you see maybe Quinn Cook or Thornton as maybe a better point guard than Austin Rivers? Because I see Austin Rivers as more of a shooting guard. Because he's very iffy. He's very iffy. He's good, he's bad. And it's like, he's good. He'll shoot a three, then he'll brick a three. And if they're playing the type of defense that I guess they play, maybe not Clemson, but the team they played for Clemson, it's like they were really shutting him down and he didn't know what to do. Virginia, it's like UVA had the Clemson on him.
Yeah, well, for me, when I look at Austin Rivers, I think in his game, he's one of those tweener guys. I think his skill set will eventually translate into the NBA as a point guard. I don't see the oozing ball-handling ability that I saw out of Kyrie Irving that can carry over to the next level. I think he's more of a work in progress. I think Duke's best option for now at point is Quinn Cook because he's a very cerebral freshman. We had a chance to talk with him last week. The interview's up at ESPNSouthside.com, and we'll re-archive it at ESPNSouthside on Twitter so you can check it out there. But I think he's a combination of athletic and cerebral. I think Tyler Thornton has got the mental part of the game down, but I think he's limited athletically. Cook has got more to him in that department. I think once his consistency is there, they'll be fine. But Austin Rivers, I think he's been the most inconsistent player on Duke. I see the NBA talent because he's a great athlete. He's got the genes, and you got to get him to fill out. But I think right now, NBA-wise, he's a project. It's hard to say what he'll do after this year because, frankly, if I'm him right now, I stay. But if he has a good March and he comes around, he'll probably go. I think it's in his best interest if he can stay and beef up another year. But that's just me. But that's my take on Duke, and particularly the point guard situation. If I'm Duke, I go with Quinn Cook. I think they've shown more from him.
And besides the point guard, it seems like Duke has turned into a guard U, and it's like they never get, like, I guess, a really big man, like a goon. I don't know if that's just the way Coach K, besides the Plumlee brothers, they're big men, but they're not like 7'2", 7'3". I'm talking about big men. They're not expected to score, but do the dirty work, because it seems like when a rebound goes up, Duke, they don't box out. I'm like, dude, get a rebound.
But see, I see.
Like we get a lot of guards. We don't get too many big men. Maybe, I forget the guy's name, but we've had big men. We had any big men lately.
Well, I think part of that, if you're looking for just raw athletic big men, a lot of them are one-and-done guys. And Coach K has taken on them. I think he's opened his doors up to them. But a lot of them have just gotten steered over toward Kentucky's way. Anthony Davis this year, DeMarcus Cousins in years past, though I don't think Kay would have wanted him because Cousins can be a bit of a basket case, as we've seen, demanding a trade request in the NBA despite not being all that stellar. Coach K, I think, is more selective in the players that he wants, and big men are often hit and miss because in high school they dominate because of their size and athleticism, but in college they have to actually match up with better athletes. I think Coach K's mindset generally has been good distributing point guard with some good athleticism, guys on the wing that can shoot the three, maybe another athletic guard that can drive to the bucket, and big men that are just grinders down low. I think they've got that with the Plumleys and with Ryan Kelly. I think consistency at the guard position is what has hurt them, because it's allowed teams to basically say, until you prove you can beat us at the guard spot, we're going to just take away your inside presence and try and match up down low and take away second chance shots. That's what I think has hurt Duke the most this year. When the guard play becomes more consistent, I think it'll, if it does, it'll open things up down low. I'm not sold on if it will. I think Quinn Cook will. I'm not sold on Austin Rivers yet being more consistent this year.
And you get these few at you, and I'm going to get off. And if you had to say Duke, would you say they're a top, I guess, 2-3 team in the ACC?
Yes.
And do you think they're a Sweet 16 this year, or maybe like second round and they're back at the house? And how are you going to talk about reality shows and no TI reality show or Mob Wife? Don't sleep on Mob Wife, man. That's a crazy fight, a lot of cursing, crazy
stuff. Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Anyway, we got to run, Neil. Appreciate your call today. But to get to your questions, first of all, about reality TV, yeah, I know, T.I. and Tiny, classic VH1. It's not as high as Jersey Shore, just because that one just, the whole, I've roomed with New Yorkers before. I've had four Yankee roommates during my time when I was in college. I had four of them in, you know, six roommates I had. Four of them were from the North. Excuse me, five of seven from the North. So that show sort of, in an odd way, touches a special place in my heart. For Duke, I think clearly they're a top three team in the ACC. If I have to tier it right now, and maybe this is looking at tournament prospectus, I've got Carolina still, in my opinion, is the best or the one most equipped to make a deep run. I've got Duke and Virginia in that second tier. Maybe Florida State works their way up. I've got to see more consistency from them. NC State, Miami, teams like that, I got to see them win on the road. Same with Maryland. I think they're all teams that could be there. But right now, if I have to go on a tier scale, it's Carolina. Then a second tier is Duke and Florida, Virginia. Third tier, at the top of that is Florida State that could push the second tier, NC State, Maryland, Miami, and then everyone else is just sort of scrapping for the bottom, mediocrity to just total garbage. Break time, we've got to get to it. Tom Brenneman, NFL on Fox, we'll get him on when we come back to talk playoffs after this.